This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. You're on Critical Hit here on Joy 94.9. And Kev, that was some soundtrack for one of your favourite games from the 90s.
It was, yeah, that was from Heroes of Might and Magic 3, which I'm just going to start this off. I'm seeing a lot of 90s games coming back into fashion.
Yep.
Remastered for different things. Mostly, like, Heroes of Might and Magic 3 you can now get on your iPad.
Yeah. So it's on tablet, which is very cool.
It's amazing. It is the same game, it's just with touch controls.
Which actually works better.
It is
by the look
so
of it.
Amazing.
Okay, maybe I should get that.
It is. Have you ever played Heroes of Might and Magic 3?
Yes.
Yes. It is exactly the same game. It's got multiplayer, it's got the campaign, it's got everything. And they've upgraded the visuals, so it's now in HD, and it's touchscreen. It is so cool. I was playing it this morning, like, whilst running on an elliptical, because that's what you do when you're me and a nerd. Whilst exercising, playing Heroes of Might and Magic 3. It is perfect. But, I mean, that's not the only thing, you know. There's a few other games that came out in the 90s, early 90s, that are now being released now. So look at all the Zelda titles.
On 3DS. On 3DS. Time, Majora's Mask, you know. You know, it's the kind of thing, too, where we're in this generation right now where there are kids nowadays who won't have played those games, of course, because you can't get them nowadays. You know, you can't get a 64 easily and play them. And why would you when you've got
really expensive.
Like a PS4?
Oh. Well,
yeah, exactly.
Poor souls.
But, you know, like, you know, kids missed out on these great games. And now 20 years have passed since they've come out. Let that sink in for a second. It's 2015. That means the Nintendo 64 almost came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, but one that I think a lot of these developers are coming in now and saying, hang on, this game was a real success back then. I wonder if we can reach this market again.
That's right.
This is one that's quite obscure, which is called the Zimbinis, which I remember nostalgically playing at school and always wanting to play it. Now, a lot of people that I've been talking to about this game, when you start talking about it, they're like, oh my God, I remember that game.
Yeah.
It was this logic puzzle game, which was on the computer, and it was about getting these little blue guys through to Zimbiniville. They kickstarted to bring that game back, to do it for tablet devices, do it for PC again. They hit their funding goal in a day.
Yeah, wow.
Because so many people were like, oh my God, I remember that game. You know, I remember that. I remember playing that as a kid. I don't know how it's going to be now that I play it.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, I don't care.
It's
I'll
in the same boat as like your Carmen Sandiegos and stuff like that.
Man, if they brought Carmen Sandiego back out, that would be amazing.
Isn't it a modern day interpretation of Carmen Sandiego? That would be incredible.
Can you imagine Carmen Sandiego on a tablet device? But Carmen Sandiego was, again, it was one of those iconic classic games. Like, you know, I love Carmen Sandiego because it was educational, but it was also like the one-liners in it.
Yeah.
The difficulty, like these games weren't easy as well.
Yeah, right.
Like Carmen Sandiego was, you had to know your stuff sometimes.
I actually went back and played Carmen Sandiego a couple of weeks ago, one of those web browser things where you can play old games. And I was finding it really tough. Like, I'm not a kid anymore. And I was like, what? How are kids going to know, like, what colour the flag is for this really obscure European country to know to go there to try and find her? Like, and she's in the library. Like, it was just, it was so tough. I was sitting there, like, with Google open, like, Googling the answers just to get through each stage because I couldn't do it. I was like, how did I play this when I was a kid?
It was so good. And, I mean, you know, a lot of these games are games that we grew up with.
Yeah.
And that we then, over time, that's really delved into a love of gaming and that kind of stuff too. So
yeah, definitely.
90s was really the time when everything sort of started to take off really well.
That's right. And consoles like the Super Nintendo and the Sega Mega Drive and stuff like that, they were big sort of instigators in some of those games. But of course, it was sort of later in the 90s when we went into the things like the 64 and the PlayStation when it kind of started feeling very serious. I remember getting home and the 64 had just come out and I was a smart kid apparently, so I had got a scholarship at my school and my reward from that from my parents was a 64 with Mario 64 and Cruisin' USA. Cruisin' USA was a racing game that was actually, in reflection, kind of terrible, but I loved it at the time, so did my mum. And but, you know, I remember firing up Mario 64 for the first time, and we played the theme music at the start of the show today, and being able to, like, play with his face even, like, use a little hand to, like, pull his nose and pull his ears and make him look funny, and then going into that first, the castle where you're running around in 3D, using the analog stick to run around as Mario and jumping and triple jumping and all that sort of stuff, and just how I felt at the time. I remember just going, oh my God, this is like the future. This is amazing.
I remember playing Mario 64 and it's just like, this is, he's three-dimensional. It's not just like this 2D thing on there anymore, and he can run and do things, and this is freaking me out, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
But even then, Mario 64, they then redid for the 3DS as well.
They did, yeah.
So, you know, there is that. But the 90s was the decade that brought us Pokemon.
Yep. Oh, the best.
It brought us, I mean, Legend of Zelda was originated beforehand, but it's where games like Ocarina of Time,
which is arguably the best game of all time for many people.
Yes. It is for me. That was the very first game that I got heavily into, like so heavily into that my dad still has nightmares about the chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Because I used to go around and hit the chickens all the time.
You were so mean.
Yeah, I'm one
You're
of those
a horrible
people.
Person. Also, it was the decade that brought us, I mean, Final Fantasy VII was the first major mainstream Final Fantasy in the West. And Final Fantasy VII came out in 1997 on the PlayStation, and that was definitely a game changer in terms of the RPGs at the time as well. And then also game franchises like Metal Gear Solid and Silent Hill started in the 90s as well, like Resident Evil. Major, major franchises that still 20 years later, sequels are still coming and they've made it better, and not better necessarily, but bigger and they look prettier and there's more content, and it really was such an important decade.
Even GoldenEye for Nintendo 64.
Which, you know, cornerstone.
Again, everyone puts that up there as one of the best shooters of all time. It doesn't hold up, by the way. If you play it now, it's awful.
And it was iconic at the time. Like, those mechanics had never been done before, and it just brought in a whole new era of gameplay, and it's just like, what?
One thing I miss about the 90s, now we're talking about GoldenEye as well, is split-screen gaming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
really
it still exists now, but it was a bit different back then.
Local co-op is, it's like that urban myth that used to exist.
Yeah.
I feel like kids wouldn't know what that
LAN
was.
Parties? Do you remember, like, having LAN parties where you had to take your whole computer?
Yep.
Or, like, with our house at home, we had, like, computers in nearly every bedroom. So it was, like, local multiplayer. So over across our own LAN, we were, you know, playing, like, Age of Empires, StarCraft, the original, like, Warcraft, you know, just over between us, you know, playing me and my brothers. So, I mean, yeah, StarCraft came out in the 90s as well. So, and towards the end of the 90s, and look how massive that still was that it took sort of, was it like almost 20 years for StarCraft 2 to come out? Or 15 years or something
along
those lines.
It was a very, very long time.
They were like, we have to get this right.
That's about 15 years, you're right, 12, 13, 14 years. It's just crazy, and, you know, games like Half-Life as well, which, again, one of the bigger gaming franchises of all time. And, you know, Half-Life 3 is still potentially being made somewhere out there.
It's confirmed now. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God! Breaking news. No. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. One of my favourite games as well. We're jumping around a little bit here, but it's hard not to. When there's so much to talk about in the 90s, so forgive us. my favorite games of all time is Yoshi's Island on the Super Nintendo.
Good game.
Super Mario 2. Yeah. The game that sort of put Yoshi in the spotlight. Now, it's no secret that Yoshi's one of my favorite, or if not my favorite character.
What?
I know.
I never knew.
So he says the tattoo on my arm. But yeah, I remember that game was one of the first games I remember playing as a little kid and just finishing it. Like, just completely, obsessively collecting everything in that game and finishing every level the best I could.
Nerd.
And no Yoshi game since has been as good as Yoshi's Island. Yoshi's Story was crap on 64. They remade Yoshi's Island on the DS, and they did a new Yoshi's Island on 3DS, and they're not holding up. The old original Yoshi's Island is still to this day the best from 1994.
It was a great... I totally agree with you.
One of the best platformers of all time, by far.
Now, this is something that a lot of people on social media, have been talking about this week. Morgan's just written in, he said, what about Commander Keen and Duke Nukem?
Oh, Duke Nukem.
Yeah. So, Duke Nukem 3D came out in the 90s as well, so that was a big one.
Yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie is one that a lot of people are holding to one of those massive 90 games. And I don't blame them. And again, Banjo-Kazooie, the original, was, like, amazing. And then sort of afterwards, they kind of went, this isn't as great.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where some of the developers from Banjo-Kazooie are now currently working on some new project to be a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie. And now, of course, Xbox owns Rare. So it's changed a lot. And, the Banjo-Kazooie nuts and bolts that came out several years ago on the Xbox 360 was not anywhere near as true to what we know Banjo-Kazooie to be, which was a shame. But I think we're all yearning for that old-school, awesome platformer to come back, Nintendo are the only ones that seem to do it now with the Mario games that come out. Mario Galaxy and Galaxy 2 and 3D Land and stuff like that. They're the only ones doing these really successful platformers nowadays. And I would love a new Banjo-Kazooie to come out, or a new Conker, or even a new Crash Bandicoot that actually isn't terrible, Sonic that isn't terrible, like something. Like, get in there.
You know what else came out in the 90s? Croc.
Croc?
Do you remember Croc?
Yes, I remember Croc.
Croc Legend of the Gobbos came out in 1997.
Legend of the Gobbos.
It was...
Are you serious?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You are
amazing.
Deadly serious. Back into our 90s video games discussion.
Pokemon Snap.
Now, Pokemon Snap, this is one that Angus mentioned online as well, as one of the games he loved in the 90s, and fair enough, we love Pokemon Snap here on Critical Hit. Arguably the greatest video game of all time.
It was so good.
This came out, this scraped in. It was 1999 when Pokemon Snap came out.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was earlier.
March 21, 1999. Now, Pokemon Snap was the only game that I had a Nintendo 64 for.
Wow.
I only had a Nintendo 64 for a very short period of time. My dad was all about PlayStation, so we were only allowed to have PlayStations and a Dreamcast.
Yeah.
So we had a Nintendo 64 for a very short period of time, and Pokemon Snap was really the only game that I had on it to play. I had Pokemon Stadium, but that wasn't that great.
Meh.
Pokemon Snap is amazing, and they need to remake it for the Wii U.
To this day, I've still always said, since the Wii U was announced with the tablet having the camera and everything, the gamepad, sorry, to be official. Thank you, Kev.
You're welcome.
Nintendo
is listening, so
To use that for Pokemon Snap, to actually hold the gamepad up and try and take photos with using it as a camera. They're doing it for Fatal Frame, and that's coming out hopefully later this year. Like, they need to do this. Pokemon Snap 2, it needs to happen. Nintendo, do a Kickstarter, do something.
Do whatever it takes.
Do whatever. I don't care. I'll promote it. It might not help much, but I'll do it.
So the only thing I find with Pokemon Snap being redone is there's 751 Pokemon now. So that is going to be the longest game in the world.
Just more photos to take.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's going to be so long. Like, it's going to be
Dragon Age.
It's going to be Dragon Age of but Pokemon Snap.
Oh my goodness, that's epic proportions.
Yeah. I mean, it would be amazing if it was Pokemon Snap but not on the rails. So it was like an RPG where you're a Pokemon photographer and you have to run around taking photos of the thing. I mean, it would be amazing.
You're making me so excited. Just stop it with your ideas.
What else have they done?
Some other big games of the night. Now, also, can't forget, the 90s was a big decade for some big RPGs as well. So, Colin, a resident sort of RPG lover on social media, mentioned Chrono Trigger and Terranigma and stuff like that as well. So some big, and Diablo as well came out in the 90s, the original
That's
Diablo.
Right, it did too, yeah.
So some big RPGs. Now, Chrono Trigger is another one that is heralded as one of the best games of all time.
So many best games of all time from the 90s.
So many.
Well.
Chrono Cross, I think, scraped into the 90s as well, maybe, or it might be 2000.
Which one?
Chrono Cross, the sequel to Chrono Trigger. It might have been 2000, possibly, because Chrono Cross also is an amazing game.
1999,
scraped in. And Chrono Trigger was another one that was remade on the DS, Kev, and re-released, and a very popular RPG in its own right, so... Lots of good stuff. Now, one that I played a lot of as a kid that I got stuck on a lot, and I think this will be for most people, Battletoads.
Yeah. I never actually played it. I heard a lot about it, but...
I got stuck on that game. It was, like, the hardest game. You know, I think in the 90s, they were the last games that were really, truly difficult. I think, no, there's some new ones nowadays, like your Dark Souls and stuff, that are quite hard intentionally. But back in the 90s, there was not so much hand-holding and not so much, like, oh, your health regenerates and stuff like that. If you died in those games, you're back to the start, man. You back to the start of the whole game.
Permadeath, yeah.
Yeah, permadeath. Like, you don't see it nowadays. It's so easy to just regenerate your health. You get shot a couple of times, you hide around the corner for 5 seconds, and you're good to go again. But
yeah,
not Battletoads, man.
Not Battletoads.
That game hurt.
So, Suikoden as well? That came out, started in 1995. Do anyone remember Earthworm Jim?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
1994.
There you go.
Came out. Oh, man, we've had so many people giving their opinions on different things.
We have to mention Sonic as well, of course.
Sonic,
big
yes.
from the 90s from Sega.
All the Final Fantasy sort of, you know, 7, 8, Tactics.
Lemmings.
Resident Evil started, you know, 1 to 3. Theme Hospital originally came out in the 90s. Mm. And that then came out again recently on Origin. So they're definitely seeing, like, a lot of these games coming out again. I mean, look at, you know, with the PlayStation Vita, how you get all of the PS1 games. Like, I just got Suikoden 2 on the PlayStation Vita. I'm just going to say that as many times as possible.
That's
just
fine.
To
you keep doing that.
You.
So, you know, stuff like we talked about last week on the show, that Square has taken some of their older franchises and now put them up for indie developers or other developers to jump on board. Things like Gex. Enter the Gecko, stuff like that. And Fear Effect as well, games that came out on the PlayStation in the 90s that now they can potentially get remade nowadays. So, I mean, we're all very nostalgic, but we want more of these games. New IPs are great and everything, and they have great success, but we want these old games to come back and have those nostalgic kicks that we want, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Look, I think the thing is, you know, a lot of the time back, you know, when they originally came out, for a lot of us, we were quite young. You know, we couldn't appreciate the games to the full value of them now. So I never played Majora's Mask as a kid. Majora's Mask coming out on the 3DS was a big thing for me because it meant I could play through it. Same with Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
So I think the thing is, nowadays we have a lot more time. Like, no, we don't have a lot more time. But
what?
we are able to commit more of our brain power to these games and appreciate them to their full.
We look at things differently as an adult, don't
yes,
we?
I mean, absolutely.
As a kid, you play a game and it's just a game and it's kind of simple, I guess, in a way. And I think going back and getting to replay some of these games that we experienced as a kid, maybe we won't like them. Maybe we'll play them now and be like, oh, this isn't as good as I thought it was.
I've had that experience. Like, totally. I've gone back and played old games. I'm like, what is this?
Why did I even play this when I was a kid?
Why?
Why did I spend so many hours on this game?
Yeah, like, we played Mario Kart 64 a couple of years ago, plugged it into our old TV and gave it a go, and it was awful. And I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to have, like, the battle mode, which was the best, you know, and it's going to be amazing, and the textures are terrible. TVs are bigger now, so there's nowhere to hide.
TVs are bigger, and so you see every pixel if they're not, you know, made for that.
On a small TV, it might still work okay, but on the big TVs, on my 42-inch at the time, it was like, what am I looking at? It's like just driving into just flat surfaces, and
you
it was
You need to go back
awful.
And get one of your, like, you know,
CRT
30-inch TVs, and smaller than that, and keep that nostalgia.
Try 10-inch, like something tiny. Like, it was really an eye-opener, and I remember playing those games, like I said, with awe and wonder. And thinking, this has changed my life. And now playing it 20 years later, it's like, what was I thinking? You know, it's come so far since then.
It's like the original Doom. I remember playing that when it first came out, and I was like, this is amazing. Those graphics, oh my goodness. And it scared the absolute bejesus out of me. Like, I couldn't keep playing it as a kid. Like, it actually scared me. And then I went back to it, and I was like, is that a person or is that a block? I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, totally.
Secret of Monkey Island came out in the 90s as well.
Yes.
And that was, I think, for a lot of people, that was quite a big game too. And, you know, it is now on iOS. It's now on tablet, that kind of stuff too.
Oh, look at Telltale nowadays.
Telltale, you know, it's using those kind of same ideas moving forward. So I think a lot of the games that came out in the 90s as well are quite where, you know, a lot of games that are out now probably wouldn't have come about if not for these games. Because, you know,
oh, yeah,
these developers just started cutting their teeth on the, you know, the games that back then. Obviously, a lot of stuff changed between early 90s, which is when a lot of the original games came out, to the late 90s as well. So, you know, it's just massive. I mean, the last 20 years of gaming is just huge. 25 years now.
It's pretty crazy, and it has come a long way. And like we said earlier in the show, I think, you know, the 90s was the decade that really kind of started all these big ideas. You know, it was the first sort of three-dimensional gaming, and there's no question in anyone's mind that Nintendo were, in a way, the biggest influence of the way 3D gaming worked. In terms of Mario 64, that is just an Ocarina of Time as well, in terms of having an open world to explore as well, and being able to check different things and go at your own pace and all the stuff that went along with that. And then I think, yes, there were shooters like Doom and Duke Nukem and stuff like that, but it was GoldenEye that was one of the biggest first-person shooters of the 90s that really made multiplayer shooting a big thing. And, of course, nowadays we have the modern interpretation of that with things like Call of Duty and Battlefield and Gears of War, which have evolved from those really early ideas that were done so well 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So it's pretty impressive.
It's all to do with, like, technology advancement, really. Like, they brought out Nintendo 64 and all of a sudden there's 3D, and that changes dimensions, which creates new mechanics, and it's like everything just, you know, snowballs from that, and all of a sudden you've got new things that people have never seen before just because the technology to do so is now available.
Yeah, absolutely. And such a big decade.
And I really do like that Nintendo especially is one of those developers that are recognizing that, you know, hey, it's time for a new wave of people, or the same wave, to replay these games.
Yeah.
You know, let's remaster them, let's bring them up to 2015, let's get them in HD, let's do this kind of stuff, let's do it again. Because, I mean, with the Heroes of Might and Magic series, Heroes of Might and Magic 3 was probably the best one out there.
Yep.
They went, all right, well, let's redo it, because people still want to play it, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I remember playing Heroes of Might and Magic 1, which, compared to 3, so much different.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was the basic 2D graphics, you know, there was no massive, you know, what it is now. And Heroes of Might and Magic 3 in HD is awesome.
It evolved within that decade itself.
Yeah, absolutely. That decade saw a lot of evolution of games, just in IPs as well. So, you know, iconic games came out during that time.
Yeah.
There was Baldur's Gate as well.
Yes.
Oh, man. Go for the eyes, boo. Go for the eyes.
I still
just remember that. That's the one of the main things that I remember from Baldur's Gate is that guy with that his line. Crazy little hamster with the go for the eyes, boo.
Yeah.
Well, they re-released it
on
Steam and made it HD and stuff like that.
Look, obviously, the 90s, definitely probably the most influential era of gaming ever. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.